mother, 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 please. Don't do this. Put down your life with your child, but don't do this.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
It's taken a lot of courage for Leslie Wagner Wilson to return here.
Like me.
But 40 years after surviving the horror of Jonestown, she is finally ready to face what happened in this South American jungle. These are the faces of the lost. They set out to build a paradise on Earth.
The aim of it was to build a utopian society.
The peace, the beauty, the sense of accomplishment and responsibility and camaraderie that's here.
We are making a place of refuge for all of you here.
None of this would have been possible had it not been for Jim Jones.
But it ended with one of the greatest crimes of modern time.
Jonestown was hell on Earth.
They chained and shackled us together. They welded the shackles on, burning our ankles.
It was a tragedy of epic proportion. More than 900 dead. It was called a mass suicide. But tonight, those who lived through the horror reveal an even darker truth.
There were injection marks in the shoulder blades. And it was like 900 people. So, no, it wasn't all suicide.
What happened in Jonestown was not a mass suicide. It was mass murder.
Georgetown, the capital of Guyana, a former British colony on the northeastern coast of South America. It's a place of intense religious beliefs and deep superstition.
Busy spot, Georgetown, though.
It's very busy, 40 years later. I mean, it's amazing.
I'm with Jonestown survivors Leslie Wagner Wilson and Tom Bogue.
You know, it's nice to find papayas that haven't been shipped for 2 months before you get them from the market.
Exactly fresh.
And they're already ripened.
Can I have a banana?
Fig bananas?
Yeah, look how little they are. You know, I used to work on the banana crew. Thank you.
What's your name?
Tushana.
Tushana?
Yeah.
Beautiful
Thank
name.
You.
Just like today, 40 years ago, the welcome was warm and friendly.
Jonestown was going to be a utopia, that people that wanted to go, they could live, they could work, and that it was going to be a beautiful thing. We're all going to live together in one community.
The dream began with an ambitious young preacher in the U.S. state of Indiana and his church called the People's Temple. At a time of racial tension in the U.S., the Reverend Jim Jones championed equality. Leslie was a teenager when her family joined the church.
What was he like in your eyes?
Jim Jones was very charismatic, and I grew to love him. I was in awe of him, and I was in awe of the power that I thought he had at that time.
Tom Bogue's family was also captivated by Jones's charisma.
He wasn't there just to preach a story. He was there to fight for you, too, and take on your battles.
With his Elvis hair and his dark glasses, did women find him attractive?
Very much so. I would say a lot of the women in the church found him very attractive and powerful. So those were two very appealing things that he had for them.
Others, like Tim Carter and his brother and sister, wanted to help Jones build his socialist nirvana.
In terms of actually feeding people, paying people's doctor's bills, paying people's attorney's bills, escorting seniors to the bank so they wouldn't get mugged. I actually was a part of that.
At the heart of the People's Temple was Jim Jones's own family, his wife, Marceline, and 9 children, including their adopted African-American son, Jim Jones Jr.
Brought me out of an orphanage, first Negro adopted in the state of Indiana, gave me great education, built self-esteem. So, yeah, I love him. I also hate him.
By the mid-70s, the People's Temple was growing in popularity, and Jones launched a bold plan to build a settlement for his followers, far from prying eyes in the remote jungle of Guyana.
Creating this wonderful, perfect world.
It would have been nice if it had been a perfect world. That was the intent.
We're traveling 200 kilometers from the capital to the patch of jungle where Jones had his followers build a new society he called Jonestown. It's hard to fathom just how remote this place is. As Tom, Leslie and I fly in, all we see is the thick green canopy where once there was a thriving community of more than 1,000 believers.
Jonestown has turned into an absolute village. Really, you have a heaven across the sea waiting for you.
Jones travels between America and his fledgling settlement in Guyana.
When fascist terror brings concentration camps, you have a home. These lovely people are all happy. None of them want to return. They're delighted with this lovely life.
We have beautiful trees, all the fruit, all the flowers.
His films capturing the wide-eyed wonder of his followers.
It's such a joy and great pleasure being here because of Father's love.
Father loves all of us.
Among them, Tim Carter.
You could sit here and talk all day long and no words could describe the peace, the beauty, the sense of accomplishment and responsibility and camaraderie that's here. It's overwhelming, it really is.
I was excited about it. I loved what I was doing. So if you love the work that you're doing, it's not work. And it was actually the first time in my life when I really recognized and fell in love with the value of work.
Rice, black-eyed peas.
Jones even shows off a box of Kool-Aid, the cordial, which would become a chilling symbol of the tragedy that would soon unfold.
Kool-Aid, icing, frost icing, various kind of cookies.
As we land at the airstrip near Jonestown, the memories come flooding back.
We went into Jonestown and we started, you know, you start seeing the lights and then you started hearing people singing.
Leslie came here in early 1978, full of hope. Her husband and three-year-old son Jakari had arrived earlier to help establish the jungle outpost.
Seeing the children play was one of the most incredible things because you have all these children from different backgrounds, right? You have this rainbow of children and they're walking and they're hugging each other. You know, they've got their arm around each other like they're brothers and sisters, and that's how they looked at each other. It was a beautiful place.
But soon enough, dissent begins to emerge.
I really don't feel comfortable with our worship being photographed. I really don't.
In the US, the People's Temple is being investigated as a dangerous cult. Fearing arrest, Jim Jones flees America in 1978 to live full-time at Jonestown.
The change when Jones got there, I would say, became rather dramatic, rather quickly. You're no longer working 8 hours a day. 12 hours isn't uncommon, and then going to a meeting that evening that would go into many hours into the night and having to get back up 6 o'clock in the morning and start it all over again.
You know, as more people came, the less food we received. And I believe our children were they were nutritionally starved. So it just began to become worse. And then of course, Jim with his ranting and raving.
I said, any good thing happens, I got more radio.
Jim began to get more paranoid. And the camp became more paranoid. It was living on the edge. You couldn't trust anybody. Because every time there was something small, you know, someone would go tell Jim.
By now, the utopian dream is slipping away, and Jim Jones is preparing his followers for the ultimate expression of their devotion, a mass suicide. He holds a series of dress rehearsals called White Nights. What are White Nights?
White Nights are when Jim would have us drink or pretend to drink poison. He would call us to the pavilion and ask us to pretend like it was a revolutionary suicide.
in the hell wouldn't be ready for a white knight? How do you feel about it? You may die tonight.
He was starting to cross over into a demented mentality. Because now he's starting to talk about how they're coming to get him and all this stuff. That the government is trying to take him down. The CIA was coming after him.
You're in this, what was meant to be utopia. Jim Jones arrives, things start changing. How many times did it cross your mind to get the hell out of there, and how many times did you try?
I would say it really started within about 8 months to a year of Jones arriving there. There really wasn't anywhere to go.
Tom makes a break for it with his friend Brian. They were captured and brought back to face the full fury of Jones and his vengeful devotees.
You and Brian, you are dragged into the central pavilion. There's a crowd around. This is what happened.
You filth! You vile filth!
You can hear the crowd baying for blood.
You're vile! You're evil! You're insidious!
But the most shocking voice in the recording is Tom's own mother.
Neither one of you deserve any pity.
Calling for his execution.
Both of you should be shot now, and I think I should be allowed to do it.
How does that leave you feeling 40 years on?
That was part of the way that families would be divided.
By now, many of the cult members have become so blinded by their faith in Jones, they've turned on their families back in the U.S.
I'd like to take my so-called dad and my sister and stab them to death with a pair of scissors and run them piece by piece through a garbage disposal.
Jones relishes the bloodlust and urges them on.
I believe in that kind of killing. Some of this shit, they ought to be dead.
Jones is using amphetamines to stay awake, and he's ranting over the loudspeaker at all hours.
I got a hell of a lot of weapons to fight. I got my claws, I got compasses, I got guns, I got dynamite, I got a hell of a lot to fight. I'll fight, I'll fight. Oh!
Jones warns of an almighty battle to save the People's Temple from interfering outsiders.
If by any chance you would make a mistake to try to come in and take any one of us, we will not let you. You will die. You will have to take anybody over all of our dead bodies.
Charismatic preacher Jim Jones has built a commune in the remote rainforest of Guyana. His followers call him Father and obey his orders without question.
These lovely people are all happy. None of them want to return. They're delighted with this lovely life.
But the U.S. government is investigating claims some are being held against their will. In November 1978, Californian Congressman Leo Ryan flies down to take a closer look.
Inquire into the health and the welfare of American citizens who are here.
He has a TV crew with him. And today we are following the same route they took into Jonestown.
It's thick jungle, extreme humidity and stinking hot. As they drive in under the welcome sign at the gates of Jonestown, the congressman and his entourage have no idea what lies ahead.
At first, Jones and his cult members pretend all is normal.
You're happy here.
I'm very happy here. It's the best place I've ever been.
And a concert is held in the pavilion for the visitors. Congressman Ryan seems convinced.
I think that all of you know that I'm here to find out more about questions that have been raised about your operation here. But I can tell you right now that from the few conversations I've had with some of the folks here already this evening, that whatever the comments are, there are some people here who believe that this is the best thing that ever happened to them in their whole life.
But all is not as it seems. And someone slips a note to the news crew. asking for help to escape. They confront Jones.
Last night, someone came and passed me this note.
Well, that's who we're talking about. He wants to leave his son here. If Jones sounds such a bad place, why does he want to leave his son here?
Doesn't it concern you, though, that this man, for whatever reason, one of the people in your group...
People play games, friend. They lie. What can I do about liars? Are you people going, leave us? I just beg you, please leave us. Bill, we will bother nobody. Anybody wants to get out of here, can get out of here.
With tension rising, Leslie Wagner-Wilson, her three-year-old son, Jakari, and a small group of other residents secretly escape into the jungle. Leslie is terrified her husband, Joe, who is a temple security guard, will find her.
If Joe had a family, I would anticipate a bullet. I believe that my husband would kill me, and he would take Jakari back.
He would have just killed you then and there?
He would have pulled the trigger. And that's hard to talk about or, you know, reconcile that within myself, that he would actually do that. But I have no doubt that Joe would have killed me.
Back in the pavilion, more people are telling the congressman's staff they want to leave.
And what is your wish today?
To go back home.
And where is home?
U.S.
You bring those kids back here! You bring them back! Don't you touch my kids!
It's chaos. Some are desperate to get out, and others remain loyal to Jones. In the confusion, Tim Carter sees someone lunge at Congressman Ryan.
All of a sudden, he pulled out a knife and said, "All right, MF, you're going to die." All three of us jumped on him.
Leo Ryan is unharmed, but the chaos only seems to fuel Jones's mania.
You could see the fury in Jones's eyes.
Fearing for their lives, the congressman's team and about 30 others decide to leave.
We get to the airport, we unload. We're waiting for the second plane to show up because there's too many of us for this one craft.
Tom makes it on the first plane with more than a dozen other people. The congressman and the TV crew decide to wait on the tarmac for the next plane. A tractor pulling a trailer load of gunmen arrives. They open fire. The cameraman still filming as he's shot.
I just see commotion out the window. Most of us are on the plane, some of us aren't, and they start shooting at everybody. The lady sitting in front of me, they shot her in the back of the head. Her brains fell at my feet. That's when I knew. Close the door or die. There's no choices to it. So I jumped up, I grabbed the cables, and I got the door about halfway, and I couldn't get no further, and my sister got behind me, grabbed me, and pulled on me in between the two of us, and that's when we both got shot. We got the door closed. And then that's when they stopped shooting at the plane, they go around and start shooting everybody outside. And a lot of them, they did it like a point-blank shot just to make sure they killed them.
Congressman Ryan and several others are killed.
After a few minutes, we lower the door back down. We go back outside, and somebody screams, "They're coming back, they're coming back." And so me, my sister, and three others, we ran directly into the jungle as fast as we could.
As Tom and four others hide out in the jungle, a few kilometers away, Leslie and her group are also struggling through the dense rainforest.
She's scared, hungry, lost, and tired. And all the while, carrying a frightened child, her three-year-old son, Jakari.
Everybody was exhausted and scared because we thought at any moment, we'd be killed. That was the reality of that. That was the reality. But we were willing to die, at least trying. At least trying.
Back at the settlement, Jones learns of the slaughter on the airstrip.
The congressman has been murdered.
It's all over, all over.
And turns it into a celebration.
What a legacy, what a legacy.
Here, sitting on his makeshift throne under this ironic motto, Jones finally gives the order to begin what he'd planned all along, revolutionary suicide.
Sorrow that it's all over. I'm glad it's over. Hurry, hurry, my children, hurry.
The followers of Jim Jones hoped to build a utopia in the jungle of Guyana. But by late November 1978, Jonestown is in chaos. A US congressman investigating the cult has been shot dead. And now Jones gathers his 900 followers together.
Sorrow that it's all over. I'm glad it's over. Hurry, hurry, my children, hurry. All I did is not fall into the hands of the enemy. Hurry, my children. Quickly, 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 quickly. Sisters, good night.
The time has come to make the ultimate sacrifice. A deadly cocktail of grape-flavored cordial laced with cyanide is mixed in vats.
No more pain now. No more pain. We're not letting them take our life. We're laying down our life. We're taking their lives. We just want peace.
First, the children. Mothers hold their infants on their laps, syringing the poisonous liquid into their tiny little mouths. On the tapes, we hear their crying.
Everybody keep calm and try and keep your children calm. And the older children can help love the little children and reassure them. They aren't crying from pain. It's just a little bitter tasting, but they're not crying out of any pain.
One by one, more than 300 children are given the poison.
Be patient. Death is... I tell you, I don't care how many screams you hear, I don't care how many anguished cries, death is a million times preferable to 10 more days of this life.
You can hear one woman on the tape, Christine Miller, pleading for the children's lives.
I said, I'm afraid to die.
I don't think you are. I don't think you are.
But I look at our babies and I think they deserve to live.
I agree.
You know?
But also they deserve, what's more, they deserve peace. And I'm going to tell you, Christine, without me, life has no meaning. I'm the best friend you'll ever have.
Christine Miller is not the only voice of dissent. Tim Carter remembers hearing Jones's wife, Marceline, trying to stop the murders.
I heard Marcy screaming, stop this, stop this, stop this. His wife screaming, you got to stop this. And a lot of crying and a lot of screaming.
But Jones ignores his wife's pleas.
The last words I heard was, mother, 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 in his very condescending voice.
Mother, 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 please. Mother, please, 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 don't do this, don't do this. Get down your life with your child, but don't do this.
There are still hundreds of adults alive, so now the vats of poison are brought out. Some willingly, some forced by armed guard, they drink the poison-laced liquid. The world called it Kool-Aid, but it is in fact the cheaper knockoff Flavor-Aid mixed with cyanide.
Lay down your life with dignity. Don't lay down with tears and agony. It's nothing to death. It's like Max said, it's just stepping over in another plane. Don't be this way.
Over the next few hours, 600 adults are poisoned. Leslie Wagner Wilson's husband Joe, mother, sister, brother, 3-year-old niece, and 18-month-old nephew are among the dead.
Was it suicide or murder?
I believe there were some that did drink the potion. I believe that. But I believe there were murders because there were injection marks in the shoulder blades. And out. I mean, it was like 900 people. So, no, it wasn't all suicide. I've never believed that. I know there was reports that my sister fought, and that would be my sister. And she was one of, I'm sure, hundreds that fought.
Tim Carter's son is poisoned, so is his wife. But such is the hold that Jones still has over Tim, he willingly carries out one last request for the man he calls father.
As hundreds die, Tim Carter and two other Jones staffers flee into the jungle with briefcases stuffed with $1 million in cash. It's Jones's bizarre fantasy that it goes to the communist Russians at the embassy in Georgetown.
Meanwhile, in Georgetown, some of Jones's followers, including his son, Jim Jr., are playing in a basketball tournament. They get orders over a two-way radio to take their own lives.
Did you ever think it would ever happen?
No. No. Even when my father told me on the radio that they were going to do that, I argued with him, saying that there has to be another way. I think the phrase he used was, we're going to visit Mr. Frazier, and that was a code for revolutionary suicide.
But Jim Jones Jr. defies his father and urges others to do the same.
We had to live and move forward. So that was my focus. The body count was going to stop.
Basketball saved your life, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, literally, if I wasn't playing basketball, I wouldn't be sitting here talking.
Leslie and her son Jakari survive too, because they also defy Jones, escaping the madness by fleeing into the jungle.
You got out with your baby.
I got out with my son. Yes, I did. Freedom at last. We did it. We did it. We all did it.
Tom Bogue, his sister, and three other teenagers also find refuge in the jungle. They're exhausted and delirious as they finally reach a river.
Luckily, one of the people who were coming up that in a canoe was one of the very same people who taught me most everything I know about the jungle. And he's yelling my name. And so I turned to my sister, I said, we can come out.
Any words to describe that emotion of coming out of the jungle, hearing your name, knowing you were safe?
Yeah, it was a good feeling.
But the feeling of relief is short-lived as they learn 918 people are dead. Jim Jones doesn't drink the cyanide-laced poison. He dies from a gunshot wound to the head. It's unclear whether he shot himself.
Do you remember the sign that Jim Jones used to have behind his throne?
Those who fell to study the past are doomed to repeat it. Is that the one you're referring to?
Yeah. What do we learn from that?
Don't ever think you're actually in control. Don't think that you are by some means given the right to control other people's lives. Nobody's entitled to that.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Leslie lost most of her family in the godforsaken forest of Jonestown.
This is a final goodbye. This is a final goodbye to say that I recognize you, I know you, I love you, and, you know, you're always in my heart.
She's now finally able to lay to rest the ghosts of the past.
Thank you. So grateful for you. It's almost 40 years now. I feel this lightness on me, I felt the spirits. I felt like, okay, I can let you go now. I love you. I'll always love you, but I can release you now.